Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
You know what, that win and the Pittsburgh Penguins defeating and eliminating the Washington Capitals, or should I say impeaching the Washington Capitals from the Stanley Cup playoffs, kind of like that term that was used in the NBC broadcast, Penguins winning in overtime of a riveting, heart attack filled for many of the fans for both teams, game six. To move on to the conference finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are waiting for them. Penguins over the Washington Capitals. I think that deserves, before we get started here on the Pens Initiative Radio PI postgame show, I think that deserves some Andrew WK and some Party Hard.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
We will let that resonate and simmer in the background. Once again, this is the Radio PI Pens Initiative postgame show, game six edition of the second round series against the Washington Capitals as the Pittsburgh Penguins knock off the Washington Capitals with another series victory in their long history of eliminating the Washington Capitals. Goes on here again in 2016. I am your host, Mike Osti. I'll be with you. Not only through this Radio Gold broadcast, but again with you to now the conference finals of the Eastern Conference and maybe, just maybe, a Stanley Cup final again for your Pittsburgh Penguins as, of course, these Pens winning that way with that type of championship-level maturity to rebound from blowing that lead in a closeout game. And then win that game that way in overtime, championship level maturity for that Penguin team that is going to be heavily favored against the Tampa Bay Lightning team that is the defending Eastern Conference champion, but without their best player in Steven Stamkos. Maybe some Lightning fans are telling me he'll be returning, but I highly doubt it. Most likely the Lightning are going without him. It is a big hit despite getting there without him so far. Wow. To any of you who have not had a heart attack yet, or are not recovering from your heart attack, glad to be with you. Glad you're joining me, if you are. If not, you're missing out. But you'll catch this archived, as you will now have some time to listen, as we're going to make this not only a series recap, but also a little bit of a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals. Believe I will have my, I don't want to say Stanley Cup playoff postgame cohort, but kind of. He's done a few of these shows with me. Jeff Fermanchin, who does a lot of our coverage at Penn's Initiative of Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, so maybe he'll give us an update of what they're doing in their playoff run as well, and the aftermath for them. But the Pittsburgh Penguins you're just tuning in and you missed the game, I don't know why you'd be tuning in. You probably aren't. But if somehow you're listening to this and you didn't actually see the game, you just looked on your box score, you just looked on your phone, you just were checking Twitter, you missed out. You really need to soak up this game. Pittsburgh Penguins started out flying. Phil Kessel in particular started out flying. And the whole time I was watching, I was kind of getting concerned that even though Phil Kessel stood up in this game, continues to step up in big playoff games, the few that he's had in his career, easily on the best team he's ever played for this year on this Penguin team. Huge goals for him in this game and really helping out on the eventual game winner. Impact player, to say the least, was Phil Kessel in this one, and that was without Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin stepping up and being the best player in the world and being the elite players they're supposed to be. Crosby didn't administer a shot in regulation until late in that third period and a little backhander that kind of meant nothing, despite catching Holtby off guard. Malkin in the witness protection program most of the game, at least on the stat sheet. Phil Kessel not, but whole time I'm watching Kessel dominate, Malkin, Crosby not, Penguins blow the lead, then go to overtime, thinking to myself, Phil Kessel's that same guy that was drafted to the Boston Bruins, showed signs of brilliance, they flip him, he gets traded, ends up playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, goes to a playoff series with Toronto, which isn't a common theme for the Toronto Maple Leafs franchise since 1967. They blow a 3-goal lead, in which blowing their series in a first-round series of the only playoff series he ever played for Toronto. In the mix, the Boston Bruins win a Stanley Cup and go to 2 Cup finals, the team he could have played for. Ends up now as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins this offseason, struggled through most of the regular season. I always said it, many said it, and we all became correct. Phil Kessel stepped up in the playoffs, stepped up when it counted the most. His regular season struggles would all be forgotten and would be meaningless. And so far, you can give credit to this game to Phil Kessel along with Matt Murray for, yes, he allowed those goals in that third period to let the Capitals tie this thing. But again, without Murray during Fleury's absence, the end of the regular season and earlier in these playoffs, even though Fleury is healthy, now Matt Murray is the guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins in net at 22 years old. And keeps on showing you why, despite his young age and lack of experience, he can carry this team to a championship, giving you enough and then some. The Penguins in goal. Holtby, tip your cap to him, tip your cap to TJ Oshie, and even a cap tip to Alexander Ovechkin, who played better than Crosby in this series, but it was not enough as his team needed him more than the Pens needed Crosby. And the Penguins win this game 4-3 in overtime. Still watching the replay of that game winner, and that bench just erupt in jubilation and celebration. My jaw still hitting the ground. Penguins win it 4-3 in overtime and win the series 4-2 in 6 games. So unlike 2009, this classic hyped-up series does not give you 7 games, but nonetheless, it is a great series, and the Penguins win, moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. I am going to bring on my guest and co-host for Game 6, second round wrap-up post-game show on the Penns Initiative Airwaves, powered by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com, Jeff Vermanchin. Jeff, welcome to the Radio PI Hotline on this post-game show. Penns win the series, eliminating the Caps in overtime. And I got to ask you before we get into this, did you have a heart attack? Are you okay? Can you speak? It's kind of critical to doing anything on air.
Wow, I'll tell you what, I'm still a little jacked up, to be honest with you. I've been drinking coffee all night, so that had me to begin with. And my goodness, when that goal went in, I lost my marbles there for, you know. Actually, I still haven't picked them all back up, so I'm still shook up a bit here.
Yeah, game ends that way. I don't think any of us can come at 100%, but we're lucky we're here nonetheless. And you drinking coffee, You're playing with the hockey gods and the heart attack gods there. You were trying to elicit a heart attack while watching that game. Caffeine and that game? I don't think that's healthy. No doctor would recommend that.
No, that's for sure. I'm certainly playing with fire.
Well, I'm glad that the coffee and that game did not kill you, that you're not in the hospital and instead are with me on the Radio PI Hotline and the Pens Initiative Airwaves Game 6 post-game show. I'm Mike Ossie. That is Jeff Vermanchin. And Jeff, what do you make of that game? It was almost a tale of two games. The Penguins started off. They had the big lead. The Capitals were stupid. It seemed like the Capitals were going to collapse again. The Penguins taking advantage of it. Phil Kessel started to dominate. He really wanted to go to a conference final. Showed why. He scored all those clutch goals, even though his teams weren't good enough to take him far in the past. Everyone's happy in Pittsburgh Penguin Nation. And all of a sudden, that third period hits. And like the Capitals have been doing all season long, they wake up, they flick the switch. We talked about it on the last time we did one of these post-game shows, which I believe was Game 3, you and I together, about the Capitals being different than past teams under Ovechkin's tenure, in which they were cooler, calmer, more collected. They were able to come back in games. They never said die, and they proved it even in losing this game. They came back in the third period. They were guns blazing and they were flying, and the Penguins then were the team that took stupid penalties. Almost, we had a really asinine conclusion if somehow a Letang penalty and a power play for the Capitals could have been scored a game winner by Orpik. That almost occurred. But what happened there? Can you kind of paint the picture between the tail of these two games and how the Penguins were able to go from having this wrapped up to having to come back to get the emotions, they win in overtime and eliminate the Capitals?
You know, you kind of touched on my thoughts during the game. You know, you mentioned how we talked about it the last time we were on, about how the Capitals are indeed a different breed this time around. They're much looser. And, you know, when Phil scored that first goal, I kind of started thinking, you know, that's not characteristic of Holtby. You know, and then the double minor on Orpik and the power play comes to life, and I'm thinking, you know, I've been saying for 2 weeks this is a different Caps team, and all of a sudden, you know, here they are, and it looks like they're going to collapse. But, you know, third period, they put it all together. They put the pressure on the Pens, and they really did. They proved that they are, you know, they're a championship-caliber team. They came up short to a deeper team, a better team, and a hotter team, really, I think. But, you know, Phil Kessel, what a game he played, and what a time for the power play to come to life. If the power play can play like that here on out, Stanley Cup or bust, I don't think there's any doubt. But that third period, I mean, the Penguins, the Caps put so much pressure on the Penguins that, I mean, those penalties, they even especially the Kunitz one, he had time. You know, he had plenty of time there, and he just flipped it out of the zone. They were clearly affected by the pressure. And, you know, I got to give Washington a lot of credit. You know, I've seen on Twitter over the last few days you had said that, you know, eventually you'd like to see Ovechkin maybe get his shot. You know, you don't want to ever see a superstar not get it done. And I'm with you there. I really am. You know, Ovechkin, he plays his butt off. He plays a physical, hard game. You know, and I don't want him to get the blame for this series. I'm not a Ovechkin fan. I'm not a Washington fan. But, you know, him, Oshie, all their best players, they left it out there and just came up short to the better, deeper team. That's all I really think it was.
I do hope, and we can hope all we want, we're not going to get this, but I do hope that the articles and the coverage and the radio work in the next few days and weeks and through this offseason, that it's not going to be Ovechkin and the Capitals did again, because as you were saying, even though, and I tweeted this, even though the Capitals suffered the same result where they don't get to a conference final, they lose in the second round, Ovechkin still, despite being one of the most prolific goal scorers in league history, who, with 525 career goals, as we're talking today, Jeff, in this dead puck era, that is so impressive. It's ridiculous, and he has an outside shot. He has an outside shot at Gordie Howe at only 30 years old with that many goals. And if he even touches Howe in this era, it would just be so outlandish. Remember the open era that Wayne Gretzky played in when he set that record. Sure. If you put Ovechkin in that era, he'd probably have 1,000 goals with this level of play and this pace. But anyway, I hope it's not, oh, it's the same old Caps, because even though they suffered the same result losing in the second round and into the Penguins again, like 09, this is a different Capital team. If the playoff format was different and it wasn't this divisional bracket challenge format they switched to a few years ago, this might have been a conference final. This was a President's Trophy team for the Capitals. Once again, the President's Trophy curse rears its ugly head and does not crown a cup champion. But, yeah, this just, to keep on beating the same drum you're beating on, this just feels like a different Capital team, And I guess I'll pivot this way. Because this is a different Capital team, because the Penguins were able to knock off this Capital team as good as it is, the fact that they were able to come back and win in overtime after relinquishing a game that they thought was well in hand and having the Capitals tied in regulation, the fact they won this series with Alexander Ovechkin, the best player for the opponent, arguably having a better series than Sidney Crosby, the best player for the Penguins, everything taken into account, does that just almost give the perfect storm of maybe the Penguins are destined and by doing this to this team in this way almost makes the Stanley Cup final berth, if not a cup, assured to the Penguins because you're facing an injury-riddled Lightning team even though they're getting to the conference final again, so you give them their depth?
I mean, I would have to think that it's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get. Any, you know, in hockey, we all know anything can happen. A bounce of a puck can change everything. But it has to be. You know, destiny surely seems it's there. You know, it has to be. As impressed as I was with what the Capitals did to come back and tie that game, the way the Penguins came out of that locker room tells me that whether it was Mike Sullivan, whether it was Sidney Crosby, whether it was Rick Tocchet, who the hell knows, they came out on fire in that overtime. And that's not the case most times. You know, you see a team give up a 3-goal lead, it's really hard to just turn it back on and get over the disappointment when, you know, you're on the verge of moving on. They did. They came out. It was a whole new period, and they treated it that way, and then they controlled the whole play. And that was just so impressive. I cannot, in my mind, think of a way that Tampa Bay beats Pittsburgh without Ben Bishop being a brick wall. I mean, that is the only way I see it going longer than 5 games. I'm not trying to disrespect Tampa. They went to the finals last year. They're in the conference final again. It's obviously a great team. Maybe if they had Stamkos, I think they have a better chance. To me, I just don't think depth-wise, I think Washington was the only team, especially in the East, who up and down the lineup could match up with Pittsburgh. They're out. Tampa's got some top six really, really good players. I think Pittsburgh matches up with them. And then I just think you see the Pittsburgh depth. You know, I think 5 games is the longest it goes. And I think Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are gonna bust out here. And then, you know, I think whoever comes out of the West, that'll be a little bit more of a challenge. But to me, doesn't matter who it is, Pittsburgh's got to be the favorite at this point.
I think that nothing is guaranteed because you got to play the games. The hockey gods are not going to guarantee anything to anybody. But the Pittsburgh Penguins now, after beating the Capitals in 6 games, having the mental maturity and championship-level maturity to win this game 6, closing out Washington in overtime this way, is going to make the Penguins the Stanley Cup favorite, not just the Eastern Conference favorite. And you kind of do wish, as a hockey fan in general, that the Lightning would have a healthy Steven Stamkos because that would make it one hell of a series. The Lightning are defending their Eastern Conference title against this Penguin team. That might make me lean a different way. I don't know. I think the Penguins would still be the favorite and would probably still win, but that would make it different. Now, before we get to more of the Lightning series and more what the Penguins did, I got to pay him his respects here. Ovechkin started off slow in the first couple games. The Capitals split those, and then he did pick up steam. Unlike Crosby, Ovechkin with 7 points this series. You would have liked to see even more if you're a Capital fan, but hey, it was more than what some Penguins gave, and it you figured could have been enough to win this season. They would have got an overtime winner here. They then would have had home ice in Game 7. Ovechkin, so many goals, so many MVP awards, so many scoring titles, such a great, phenomenal player, and I do think we're now at a point for the Penguins fan base, they no longer hate him personally like it was in 09. There's more respect to him, even though his team once again loses to the Penguins. But if you had to put your crystal ball in your hands and you had to put your Nostradamus hat on, we don't know the future, of course, but do you think Alexander Ovechkin is ever going to reach a conference final? It's not even so much a Stanley Cup final, but he's never even been to a conference final.
Right.
Or do the Capitals, at least as is for this Capitals team, or do they need to do something else? Do they need to change something? Is there just something wrong, even when in the Barry Trotz era they felt like more of a championship team?
Well, you know, my take is I would absolutely love to see him get there, especially against Crosby, Malkin, the Penguins. That would be so much fun. But do I think he will? I do. I do eventually think he at least gets to an Eastern Conference Final. And I think the group they have there now, just like we talked about on that last show, there was just that looseness that championship teams have. I think they take this loss as a collective unit that they have there now. Forget about the past. This unit here, take this loss, build from it, move forward, add a piece, subtract a piece. I think Oshie was just unbelievable in this series, too. He really left his mark. I think the group they have there now, I think they need one or two more defensemen that you can kind of rely on in your own end. To me, they seem like that's where you can kind of wear them down, is down low. Not too many big physical guys outside of Orpik, and even Niskanen has to play that really physical role for these guys because they don't have that. But I really do. I think this particular group could end up, eventually, maybe even as soon as next year, making it to an Eastern Conference Final. I think he will, and I certainly hope he does, because, like you mentioned before, not too many people talk about just how great he is. He takes so much criticism for the losing, and I think, you know, hockey, almost more than any other sport, it's such a team game. If you don't have that depth, you just can't do it yourself. You know, you get to a postseason series, and you're facing the other team's shutdown line, their shutdown deep pair, and they're just hammering on you. If you don't have that depth, you're not going to do it by yourself. So I don't like to see all the hate go to Ovechkin. Like you mentioned, this dead puck era, the numbers he's putting up, unbelievable. Unbelievable when you break it down and look at it. Hands down the best goal scorer in the game today. He plays really hard. I mean, at times, you know, you could say he takes a run here and there, but I don't think he's an overly dirty player. He's just a very physical player. He's a big body, and he uses it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As far as Ovechkin, I think he's a great player, and I want to see him get that opportunity.
I'm with you. I want to see Ovechkin get to a conference final and get to a Stanley Cup final. And I said the same thing about Henrik Lundqvist before he got there, that I wanted to see him soak up the light at least one time and get to a cup final. He was able to get there. He didn't win, but at least he was able to get there. So many comparisons we're seeing thrown out is Alexander Ovechkin, hockey's Dan Marino, a Hall of Fame legendary player who doesn't get a championship. Well, that's Henrik Lundqvist for me, because at least he was the best of the generation and got first position and got to a cup final, which is the equivalent to a Super Bowl, like Marino got there once. Ovechkin's not even been to a damn conference final. I just can't even wrap my mind around that. If you would have told me in 2005 that he's going to have all these awards, all these goals, and be this guy individually and never even reach the third round of the freaking playoffs, I'm still kind of confused how that situation for him. I think, I don't know. I don't want to be as optimistic as you. I'm hesitant to believe it. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I want him to get there. It's hard to believe it's going to happen, because you might run into this Penguins team again in the second round for the next few years, and the Penguins' depth might be able to stop you. I want to ask you this, though. Taking the history into account and taking the Washington Capitals into account and the fact that it is the same result, even though I don't think it necessarily had anything to do with each other, but did the Penguins win this series, or did the Capitals more lose this series? Was it more what the Penguins did being so dominant at points, or more the Capitals messing up at different points to lose this series for you?
Wow, that's a really good question. That's a really tough question. I'm sure it could be answered a bunch of different ways for me.
Well, what about you? Your answer. I'll give it to you.
Early in the series, I think the Penguins, after that overtime loss in Game 1, and even in Game 1, they were the better team. I think they controlled the play. But then when we got to, like, Game 3, I think Washington really started to control the play. And I think at times they just got a little bit undisciplined. I think Matt Murray won the goaltending battle, which I don't think many people would have thought going in. I think the Capitals let this series slip away. I'm sure they feel that way. I'm not sure too many people in Pittsburgh are going to like my opinion here, but I do feel that way. I feel like the Capitals had every opportunity to win this series. I mean, their best player was going. Crosby and Malkin, you're not going to keep them to any less points than they produced in this series, ever. The time to beat them was now, in my opinion. Like you said, their biggest obstacle going forward in the future is going to be getting out of this round because the Penguins are going to be there waiting for them. And, yeah, I think that's a great question. And my personal answer is that I think Washington had the chance to win this series and didn't take it. They didn't grab it.
It's okay to give the controversial, unpopular, maybe heel opinion every now and then because I'm tempted to agree with you. I mean, look, the Penguins played great. The Penguins did what they had to do to win this series. The Penguins were able to mature and get over different humps and peaks and valleys of a playoff series that you're always going to have. They blow a lead. They come back, win overtime. They have the depth. You have Bonino. You have Daly. They're scoring big goals. They're in major plays of this series. You see Kessel, not Crosby or Malkin. They bring over Kessel in the offseason for this reason, to step up. If Malkin and Crosby are not going, Kessel was the guy going when they needed him, even when Crosby and Malkin were struggling and off the stat sheet. So that would all kind of dictate to say the Penguins were the better team and they were the deeper team. They deserved to advance, and absolutely all of that is true. They were the better team. They're the deeper team. They deserve to advance. But I got to say the Capitals blew this series too. The Capitals were the better team in Game 3. They didn't win.
There's the
best game for the Capitals in this series all through the game, not just in, say, a third period where they were flying like here in Game 6 in the loss in overtime, but all through the three periods were Games 3 and 4. The Capitals don't win Game 3. They don't win Game 4. I mean, you're in a situation where they're playing better. They're getting almost 50 shots on net.
Right,
if you have a Capital team that's getting 50 shots on net, I don't care what Ovechkin's doing. If you have a Capital team getting 50 shots on net with that offense, you should be able to win. I don't care who you're playing. They picked up a 50-shot game in which they lost. Now, Murray stood in his head, and you give him credit for it, but that should have been a victory for the Capitals. If that was a win for the Capitals, we're going to Game 7 if the series isn't already over. And then in Game 7, that's at home ice for Washington. They could have used these home fans in a game like this. So maybe the last change, even if you don't go off emotions. So it does feel like the Capitals blew it. Not only did they blow it, but even in Game 6, forget everything else happened in this series, how the Capitals lost the game they should have won, how the Penguins maybe lost the game they should have won in Game 1, how Orpik was suspended, how Letang was suspended, all that drama. Forget all that. If you just go to Game 6, because this is the Game 6 post-game show here for Radio PI and Pens Initiative, if the Washington Capitals gave the effort of the third period in periods 1 and 2, where they started off slow, maybe we have a Capital victory just in this game, and then we're going to Game 7. So the Capitals, yes, they're a great team. Yes, they feel different than other Ovechkin teams that lost in the first or second round. Wow, he's scoring all these goals and having all these individual awards. This is another year under Barry Trotz. Even going to last year, they felt different, more of the playoff-style hockey. They feel like a team that this construction can lead to a Stanley Cup title, but it's still the same result. They still lose again. They probably just need some more depth and the same thing that was needed the last few years, which caused the regime change, and now they finally get back to conference final after the turnover, and that's more depth. The Penguins' depth is the reason they're here. Going to the conference final, because once again, these 8 p.m. start times bring us to a post-game show around midnight, so we don't want to stay up all night, even though I know you're caffeine-induced here and have all the coffee, so we don't want to have a heart attack here while we're talking about an overtime win. What are going to be the keys to a conference final against the Lightning? The Penguins are obviously the prohibited favorite, especially against a Lightning team without Stamkos. But what do the Penguins need to do? And if the Lightning somehow win the series and perform the upset, what do you think the Lightning would have done to make it happen? Or is it just going to be the Penguins have to blow the series to lose?
I would agree with your last statement there. I think the only way the Lightning win this series is for the Penguins to blow it and not be at their best. But I think, obviously, Tampa has a good power play. You know, you want to be disciplined a lot like this series. You know, you can't be taking dumb penalties. You know, there's penalties where you have to take sometimes. And usually those ones you kill off because the guy, you know, it seems like they dig deep. They know he had to take that penalty. But it seems like it's always the dumb penalties, the ones you don't need, the stick infractions, and they end up burning it. And if there's one thing Tampa Bay has, you know, it's that power play. Hedman on the point, he seems to always find a way to score goals. And he's a big, strong guy. I mean, he can really bomb them in there, and then you're looking at rebounds. Kucherov is you know, as hot as anybody right now. Tyler Johnson's a speedy playmaker. I think with the Penguins, you know, they need to continue to play their game, grind teams down with their depth, match up with that top line, make sure that early on in the series you don't let them get going, you know, keep them in check for the first few games, find a way to get the Bishop early in the series, and I don't want to disrespect Tampa Bay because I know, you know, how close they came to winning the Cup last year, and you know, they're back again. It's not a fluke. I'm not taking anything away from them, but the Penguins have the train rolling right now, and to me the only way to stop it is going to be themselves. Do they, for whatever reason, just stop skating, just stop playing, which I, you know, Mike Sullivan's just not going to allow that. So for me, Ben Bishop's got to steal it, or the Penguins are going to have to blow it by being undisciplined and overlooking Tampa, really. You know, this was a big hurdle. Everybody said this Washington series was the, you know, the conference final before the conference final, really. So as long as they don't overlook it, they stay focused, take it one game at a time, like they've said the whole second half of the season. Penguins are in the driver's seat. I think Crosby and Malkin have much better matchups against Tampa Bay as far as forward units to get off. They do have some strong D-men, like we mentioned, you know, Hedman, Garrison, some big strong guys on the back end. But as far as forward lines matching up, I don't see most of their forward top nine guys are offensive players. You know, they're not going to be able to check Crosby, Malkin. The Bonino, Kessel, Hagelin line potentially, you know, could stay hot and keep it rolling. I don't see anybody slowing them down. So, yeah, that's my take. Penguins have to be well below their best to not win this series and win it pretty quickly.
Is there any way that Matt Murray could actually outplay Ben Bishop, or does Matt Murray not even need to outplay Ben Bishop to win that series? Could Matt Murray actually not be at his best, but just be good enough because of the Penguins' depth, and the Penguins still win a series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are injury-prone and injury-riddled, even with Ben Bishop standing on his head?
I think that if Murray just plays capable, you know, he does a decent job, he doesn't lose them games, I think they're well on their way to win the series. But I also do think at this point Murray's going to outplay Bishop. I don't, you know, like we had talked before when I was on, I could have never predicted what Murray was going to do and how quickly he was going to do it, but I know well enough from seeing him that I'm not going to doubt him. I know that he's a super, super confident kid. He just believes in himself, and nothing leads me to believe that he's going to crumble here whatsoever. I think he'll match Ben Bishop at least blow for blow, if not be better.
And I'll say it too. I think Matt Murray can outplay Ben Bishop, but like in this series against Holtby, there's a possibility Ben Bishop will outplay Matt Murray and
sure,
the Lightning will still not win this series. I don't think Matt Murray needs to outplay Ben Bishop. I just think he needs to give them enough where he doesn't need to lose this series for them, kind of manage the game, to steal an adage from Football with a Quarterback, because the Lightning are losing Stamkos, because the Lightning don't have near the depth of the Penguins, despite of Tyler Johnson and Hedman and a few others. So Ben Bishop, in order for the Lightning to win, has to have a historically amazing series, the likes of Tim Thomas and Vokun and Carey Price and Patrick Waugh and those type of historic playoff series of the past for those individual goalies. Almost a Dominic Hasek 1999 with the Buffalo Sabres taking them to the Cup Final. Basically standing on his head. Yeah. And that was a team that actually had less depth than even this Lightning team has. But Ben Bishop got to steal this series.
He has
to be the better goaltender for the Lightning to win the series, whereas Matt Murray probably doesn't need to be that for the Penguins to win. Now, the other question is, and no one's going to talk about this if the Penguins win the Cup. It'll kind of be like when the Blackhawks won the Cup one of those years in their dynasty and Jonathan Toews struggled and no one mentioned it, no one cared because they won the Cup and it seemingly didn't matter. But not even just to Malkin and Crosby, because Malkin performed earlier in this series.
Mm-hmm.
What about Sidney Crosby? Does Sidney Crosby need to give you more to win the Lightning series, if not even to win a Stanley Cup? Or can the Penguins be good enough to win without him? And if the Penguins win or lose in these next series of the conference final and maybe a Cup final, does Crosby deserve some criticism if he doesn't show up in these games? Because Crosby registered one shot on net in regulation. It was the backhander late in the third period. Did nothing else really on the stat sheet. And these are the games you want your best from a guy who is called the best in the world.
Well, I'll start with your last question there. I think that if Crosby doesn't produce more, if he stays kind of where he's at right now and they do lose, I absolutely do think that he deserves some criticism. If he doesn't produce and this team doesn't win a cup, then it has to fall on him. He's the captain. He's a Hart Trophy candidate. He would have to take some blame for that, and I'm sure he would. But going back to what you said previous, I don't think he has to. I think the biggest thing with this team, and as long as Crosby's not getting beat by other teams' top lines while he's out there, you know, if he's shutting the other teams' top lines down and not giving up any goals, I think if he could play even hockey, I think you go down the Penguins' lineup, I think they will find ways to win. They'll find goals to win. They'll get some power play goals here and there and do enough to win. So I don't think he has to play out of this world for them to win the Cup. You know, as crazy as that might sound to a lot of people out there, I believe in the depth of this team. And for whatever reason, Evgeny Malkin has always kind of risen his level the deeper we get in the playoffs. I always remember that series against Carolina. I'm sure that's everybody's go-to Malkin memory. But, wow, if he could ever find that level again, Crosby wouldn't have to be, you know, much more than just, like I said, if he can just play even a shutdown role and make sure other teams' top lines aren't scoring against him. But, you know, I still do. I know I said this last time I was on after Game 3, and I was clearly wrong, but I do think Sid's going to get going offensively. I think once, for whatever reason, I don't know why he's shooting the puck. It seems like every year this conversation comes up, like he must be banged up, he must have a wrist injury or something, he's not shooting the puck, but it's too much of a coincidence that every year it seems like he's just trying to do a little too much. Just shoot the puck, Sid. I mean, you're the best. You know, shoot the puck and you're going to score goals. That's the way I see it. But, you know, I'm not on that ice. I don't see the shooting lanes. But to me, I just one shot on net tonight, that's not enough in this kind of game.
It's just not. I mean, yeah, the Penguins don't need Sidney Crosby to win the Stanley Cup with this team because how deep it is, because of Malkin and Kessel, who can step up and have shown they will step up in big games this playoffs, and even the landscape of the Lightning not going to have Stamkos. You got a lot of teams in the West. While they're good, they haven't been there before. Teams getting over the hump, trying to do it for the first time in the Blues. San Jose, Nashville, we're looking at game sevens there, and even the Stars, they haven't done it this century, even though they did it the most recently. So all those players are without rings and are looking for their first crack at things. The Penguins are going to be the more experienced team, the more recent champion, and have the stars, even for players that weren't there during the Cup season. They just are so star-studded and so deep and playing so well and are so hot, they're the favorite. And if you look at all the other teams that they're going to face, you'd have to imagine the Penguins should beat all these teams, and losing any of these teams would be a catastrophic upset, really. You hate to almost shut the door on the Cup playoffs, but after beating Washington, it really almost seemingly is the best possible path for the Penguins to not only go back to the Cup final, but win a fourth franchise Stanley Cup. If that does not occur, somehow that does not occur, unless Crosby's losing a game where he has a hat trick and they still somehow lose 4-3 because the goaltender and the rest of the team doesn't show up, Crosby's going to have to take this blame. For many, many years, it was the coach, it was the GM, and they deserved the blame when they got it. They got new coaches and new GMs now. It was many other players. A lot of the fans hated on Malkin for many of those years, and Fleury, of course, too. But no one really went at Crosby. And this playoff, the Penguins, the prohibited favorite, have the best team in a red hot. If they don't win the Cup, it got to be on Crosby. He's playing the worst of the big three right now, Kessel, Malkin, and Crosby. Crosby's playing the worst.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, there's no way we can blame the coach this year. You know, you can't go from putting a halo on Sully to now saying, oh, well, Sully didn't get it done in the playoffs. You know, it can't be that way.
Some fans will. Yinzer Nation will do it if they have to.
You're right. It will happen, but, you know, that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. Sid's going to have to suck it up and take some blame if this doesn't work out at this point. Like you said, the door is wide open. Inexperienced teams, you know, the door's there. If they lose to any team that's left in this postseason, it's going to be a disappointment. They're the best team left. They should beat whoever they come across. I think San Jose or Nashville, they both have pretty good rosters. I mean, San Jose's kind of been, you know, waiting to break through all these years. I think they could be dangerous if they finally get there, you know, that one last shot kind of thing, you know. But to me, it's just going to come down to if Sid and Gino can produce at all, which they really didn't in this series outside of Gino early. Man, if they could produce, how is anybody going to beat this team? And like you said, unless the goalies just fall apart. I mean, if Matt Murray stays strong, even if he doesn't, even if he gets blown out in game one of this series, you still have got a guy who was the team MVP this season, Marc-Andre Fleury, who, yeah, he might have some rust, but I think he's chomping at the bit to get in there, and if he does get his chance, I want to see him thrive, and I do think he will thrive.
Is there any way, though, because that was the talk before this Game 6. I appeared in a couple of different radio shows to preview this, and it was always, who do you go with? Do you agree with the choice to go with Matt Murray? And I always said he's the hot hand. You got to stick with Murray. There's nothing he did to warrant losing his spot, even though the incumbent goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, previously won a cup with this team and is the veteran for so many years. But now that you went with Murray and won the series, that obviously became the right decision, but now going to the conference final against another team that you're heavily favored to beat, is there any way we see Marc-Andre Fleury and have it not be doomsday of down 0-2 in a series or down 0-3 in a series? Is the only way we see Marc-Andre Fleury if the Penguins are blowing an opportunity at going to the Cup final and it really is a problem for the Penguin team? Or is there still a relatively short leash on Matt Murray that if he would lose game one and doesn't show up, do you think there's even a chance of Fleury in game two where you're only losing one game and it's not the end of the world yet?
I mean, sticking with the theme of this podcast, right, I'm going to go back to it real quick before this game six. That was asinine. I mean, to even bring up – to try and pull Murray before game six, that is absurdity. I mean, yeah. I know Marc-Andre Fleury is a great goalie. Matt Murray giving up 3 goals did not lose game 5. But, okay, we'll move on before I go off on some crazy tangent. But, no, I think unless Matt Murray gets lit up for, like, 7, like something catastrophic, 6, 7, I think it's going to take, like you said, a 3-0 deficit where you absolutely need to change things up, looking for a spark. They have to ride with Murray right now. He's hot. If Sullivan were to do that, go to Fleury, even with all the people clamoring for it, if he goes to Fleury and they're down 0-2 in the series, what in the world are people going to say then? I mean, then it's going to be, why would you pull Murray? He was the hot goalie. I mean, I've never seen a coach in all my years, you know, watching hockey, I've never seen a coach take out the hot goalie just because. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's your third-string goalie, it doesn't matter. You ride with the hot goalie. And if he falters eventually, you know, Penguins fans should feel really good that Marc-Andre Fleury's there, you know, waiting in the wings, because I think he can grab the torch and run with it. But Murray has done nothing even close to give me any reason why I would pull him. And I think by Mike Sullivan coming out, you know, yesterday and saying it 24 hours ahead of time, I think his mindset's pretty clear too. He's riding with Murray all the way here.
I love that by Mike Sullivan. I almost want to thank him and show my appreciation to him just for that, because he kind of quieted the asinine conversation and debate on whether you start Matt Murray or Marc-Andre Fleury in Game 6. The Penguins said, we're going to start Matt Murray well before the game, 24 hours ahead, to silence all those critics and that whole conversation and debate leading up to the game today. Great job by Mike Sullivan to handle that properly. Matt Murray starts. Matt Murray gets the win. The Penguins win another series and go on to the conference finals. I think the only way we see Fleury is if this is an 0-2 deficit. You have to lose two games, the minimum, maybe even three. The way those games have to go is where you're allowing a lot of goals. If they're 1-0 shutouts, the Penguins did give up one goal, you probably still stick with Murray. But the only way you see Fleury is if it's doomsday, is if you're blowing a series against a team that you should beat, and you're probably going to end up losing that series regardless. But you almost hope it doesn't come to that. You almost now have to hope you don't see Marc-Andre Fleury, because if you see Fleury, it's probably not going to be a series you're going to win. Matt Murray's the guy now. Matt Murray's proved he can be the guy to win playoff series for you. And if you can beat Washington, you can beat anybody. That really got to be the mentality of this Pittsburgh Penguin team. If you can beat Washington and you can do this to this team, doing it in six games, not even seven games, you should be able to beat anybody. Before we go here, Jeff, we talked so much on the Eastern Conference, Pens Cap series, Pens eliminating the Caps again, and then going to face the Lightning, and they're going to be heavily favored without Stamkos for Tampa. But to throw your hypothetical hat on here too, if the Penguins get rid of Tampa and go back to the Cup Final, which team out west do you want to see the least? And which team do you think the Penguins match up the best against? And, of course, we've still got all these teams left since we got some Game 7.
That's a fun question. That's a really fun question. I think the team that I would like to see them play the most, to me, is Dallas. I think Dallas kind of plays a similar game to them. You know, they like the speed game. They like the open ice. And I think in that kind of game, you know, they do have Jamie Benn and Sagan's getting healthy and Betsa, but nobody is better than Crosby and Malkin in that type of game. And the way Phil Kessel's playing, you know, you give him an inch right now, he's going to take it and run with it. And real quick, let me say, I am so happy for Phil Kessel. Everything he's been through, Toronto and everything, man, does that guy deserve a pat on the back. Good for Phil. He's played great. But so I think Dallas is the best fit. Maybe, I mean, I don't say that super confidently, but I think that matchup style plays the best for Pittsburgh. The team I'd like to see the least, I think the Blues play the game that matches up the best with the Penguins, super big, physical, and can skate a little bit, but I don't want to see San Jose, because I think if they get over that hump and get there, with those veteran guys who can still, you know, they could still put the puck in the net, and they've got some young talent with Knight. You know, you have the Thornton, the Marlowe's, Brent Burns has been. Hey, you got Logan Couture. You know, the young guys out there are on fire. That team, you know, all the criticism they've taken, you know, they've got to be feeling like it's their time. You know, and I think that's a dangerous thing to play around with. They've got a pretty good decor, mobile decor. Obviously, Paul Martin's playing well out there with Burns, Justin Braun. They've got some really good young players, puck movers. I mean, maybe their goaltending isn't the best. Martin Jones, I think, might be the lesser of the goalies left in the postseason. But I think that Sharks team, I think they're smelling blood in the water, so to say. And I think that's who's going to win the West, and I think that's going to be a really tough, long series.
I'm with you again. I think San Jose would be that team. They have the deepest team. They have the stars. They have the veterans who have been trying for almost a decade now, in Joe Thornton's case, to get over that hump and at least get to a conference final, let alone get to a cup final. They had that one conference final where they lost to Vancouver when the Canucks finally got over the hump. and end up losing the cup final. But they couldn't get back to their sense, and it does seem like they're finally primed and ready to go if they would get past Nashville, which is no small task. And I think either Nashville or San Jose would be a tougher test in a cup final than, say, a Dallas or St. Louis. Just because the Blues, like San Jose, getting over the hump, they'd finally be hungry. But I think they play a very similar game to Washington. And if the Penguins can beat Washington, why not beat the Blues with also less talent around them? And the Stars are basically the mirror image of the Pittsburgh Penguins, but without Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. They got basically the same team with worse star players and a worse big three playing the same style and a goaltender that only plays every other game because they don't even have their guy yet. They're switching out who's in net every other game despite winning. So,
yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think, you know, to me, like you said, St. Louis, that it, you're exactly right. I didn't even think of it that way. They are very much so similar to Washington without the talent. So I'm glad we agree on that. I think, you know, the winner of that San Jose-Nashville series, I think, wins the West, and I do think it ends up being San Jose. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. That will be a lot of fun. But I don't want to overlook Tampa Bay. I don't want to disrespect anybody. But a Sharks-Penguins Stanley Cup final, to me, would be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. A cross-country cup final, San Jose's first ever cup final for a very underrated and rabid fan base. They have some hockey fans there, even though it's not a hockey market. They're selling tickets, and they're working as a market. They just haven't won like some other non-traditional markets, the Tampas, the Dallases. They're not the normal hockey market, but they've been able to win a cup or so and get the cup finals. Not the way for San Jose, but they got the fans. And then the Penguins, really, it's all right there for them, though. That, most important, it's right there for the Penguins. You do this to Washington, you have this mental hurdle against Washington, you eliminate them, you face the best team in the NHL, and you beat them in six games. The way they did it, winning in overtime in game six after blowing the lead, they have the championship-level mentality and maturity, and there's really nobody that should beat them, but that's why you play the games. The hockey gods might have a different answer, and you want asinine. I think the Penguins almost are guaranteeing that if they don't win the Stanley Cup, we're going to have an asinine offseason because you're going to have some many media members saying they should have won or Crosby's to blame because he didn't show up. And any way of not winning the Cup, the Penguins are going to get heavily criticized this offseason based on who they're going to face and how good they are and how hot they've been.
Yeah, no question.
There's a heap of pressure on the Penguins by beating Washington, but you'd much rather have the pressure of you better win because you're the best and you're facing lesser teams than be eliminated and be going home on the golf course like the Washington Capitals are once again. Jeff, since you're on the show, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't do this. Do you have any thoughts, any comments about Wilkes-Barre you wanna say?
Well, now that, you know, if you're out there in Pittsburgh and you don't follow Wilkes-Barre too closely, now that this series has ended, I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend turning into this series. It has, you know, I said it on my last time on after Game 3, we talked a bit about the preview. We said there's going to be bad blood, it's a rivalry, all that. It's gone over the top. It's completely out of control at this point. Liam O'Brien from Hershey took a real cheap run at Dominic Simone, who was Wilkes-Barre's leading goal scorer. Late in game one, Wilkes-Barre was up 4-0. He took a late, high hit, a charge. You know, he skated from outside the blue line and just crushed Simone in the corner. He ended up getting suspended one game. Simone has yet to come back in this series. It's tied 2-2. But things really boiled over last night in game four. Tom Cestito came back from Pittsburgh, and when he got to practice on Tuesday, on Sunday, he made it very clear that he was going to make sure Liam O'Brien knew he was on the ice. And it didn't even take the opening drop of the puck. The teams came out for warm-ups, and we had a brouhaha at center ice. Like a baseball, you know, the dugouts cleared, and everybody was at center ice pushing and shoving. This is before warm-ups. So, I mean, every whistle, there's guys getting punched in the face. You know, the old stinky gloves, you got to love it. It is old school playoff hockey, and there's tons of storylines. There's a lot of hate. Wilkes-Barre has Steve Alexei, of course, just came down from Pittsburgh as well. He was Hershey's captain last year. Zach Sill is an assistant captain in Hershey. He was a fan favorite and an assistant captain in Wilkes-Barre for years. So you have those kind of storylines. It's clearly personal between guys like Alexi and his old teammates. Chris Bork, who was the league MVP for Hershey, scored in Game 3. Hershey blew out Wilkes-Barre 5-2 to take a 2-1 lead in the series. And Chris Bork, his second goal of that game, Alexi was in the penalty box. Bork skated around the net, all the way around the boards, trolling Alexi the whole way, got to the penalty box and gave him a good stick tap on the glass. So, I mean, Alexi almost came out of the box after him. So it's, you know, I would strongly recommend tomorrow's Game 5. We're tied up at 2. Tristan Jarry got his chance in the net after DeSmith got kind of lit up a bit in Game 3. And he came in the third period of Game 3. He stopped 37 out of 38 shots, you know, counting the end of Game 3. And Game 4 last night, he was really, really good. Justin Peters for Hershey has been great in net that way. It is the most physical and out of control in terms of bad blood series I've ever been a part of. And it really boiled over for good last night on Twitter. Tom Sestito did an interview with Russ Rivnak, who covers Wilkes-Barre for DK. And he said, you know, I had respect for Liam O'Brien coming into this series, but he runs around while I'm in Pittsburgh. Then when I get back, he doesn't answer the bell. He's like, he's a coward. I have no respect for him. That's pretty much a direct quote. O'Brien on Twitter answered back to Sestito, you know, you can't fix stupid or something crazy. And from there, it just completely got out of control. There's pornography stars are chiming in now on it. I would recommend taking a look at Tom Sestito's Twitter tonight or tomorrow.
I've seen it. It is salt.
Yeah, certainly anybody out there listening, you will be entertained by it, no question. It's gone out of control, and I'm going down to Giants Center tomorrow night, and I cannot wait. I don't know what we're going to see. Who knows if there's going to be a hockey game played. The teams might not even make it to the ice. It has gotten out of control. It's been a lot of fun. It's been great hockey. Both teams, I mean, are just laying it all out there. And, you know, much like these NHL teams, the hits and the suspensions started early on. And, you know, more so in the NHL series, they kind of got under control. And I thought the officials did real well the last 3-4 games. I know the Washington fans don't think so, but I really didn't even notice the officials much in this series. It was more the off-ice officials with the Letang and the Orpik suspension. But in the AHL, oh, man, it's been it has not calmed down at all, and I just don't see how it's going to anytime soon after that Twitter battle last night. You would hope that the coaches would tell, you know, their players, nothing stupid here. We still got to win this series. But by watching these teams play, it's almost like they're blinded. I mean, there's just a true hate there. And it's been a lot of fun. So if you guys are out there in Pittsburgh and you got some free nights now to watch some hockey, AHL Live, definitely tune in or can listen on the radio. A lot of fun. Great series. A lot of fun.
Speaking of Cornstar's Twitter accounts, too, I after we get off the air here, I'm going to have to check in with Mia Khalifa and see what she has to say about her Capitals being eliminated. And I wasn't even expecting her to go into the AHL series and speak her mind, but she was involved in that. Yeah, she was involved in the Sedifa Twitter war, and she went at him on Twitter, and they went back and forth, and there were some memes and pictures, and not any pornographic images yet, but I feel like that's only coming. I mean, that in terms of the more entertaining series on Twitter for social media, it's been in the AHL over the NHL. But what do you think Wilkes-Barre's prospects are if they get out of this series for the Calder Cup?
Oh, boy. Well, when the playoffs started, I thought the only way Wilkes-Barre would win the Calder Cup was if Pittsburgh got eliminated and they got the Shearys, the Rust, the Pouliots, and the Murrays back. But I've changed my tone a little bit since then, especially when they upset Providence the way they did. They're battling in this Hershey series. I think a lot. They have so much leadership, you know. I'll just mention a few real quick because I know we're getting tired here, but Tom Gustavlis, Dustin Jeffrey, Cale Mullerat, Will O'Neill, they have all these guys who have played deep into the playoffs and in the Calder Cup finals before. That's really an advantage they have over these other teams left. Now, if they beat Hershey, Albany and Toronto are also tied at 2 apiece in the other series, but Toronto was everybody's pick, hands down, to win the Cup. They are loaded with young talent. Soshnikov, Kasperi Kapanen, William Nylander, Mark Arcabello is playing down there, and he's, like, lighting it up. They're really good, but they're young. And Albany was the second-best team in the league with 102 points. They're more of, like, an experienced AHL team with some good young guys sprinkled in, a lot like Wilkes-Barre. I think Albany wins that series. I think Wilkes-Barre and Albany battle. At this point, it's hard for me to say who wins that next series because we're so far away yet. It seems we're really not, but it seems that way. But I think Wilkes-Barre, it's a flip of the coin in the Eastern Conference Finals if they get Albany. Toronto is a really tough matchup for Wilkes-Barre because they're so young. They've got really good skating legs, and Wilkes-Barre tries to play the same style as Pittsburgh, but they just have some guys that really can't play that way, and I think Toronto's speed would, over the course of seven games, would be a little too much to handle. I'm not saying they can't beat them, but, you know, Tristan Jarry, he can get hot, you know, change things, but I think if Wilkes-Barre can get to the Calder Cup final, I think that finally, this fourth time around getting there, I think they'll finish the deal. I think Tom Kostopoulos having such a historic career, being one of the only guys to ever play 600 games in both leagues, such a great captain. That's all you ever hear after every game is how great of a leader he is. I think that's a really big factor right now. I really do believe it's not a cliche. I think this team really is pushing hard. You know, teams always want to win the cup, but I think there's some added extra motivation to get TK that missing cup. And that's all he's missing for, you know, he's obviously going to be an AHL Hall of Famer. He didn't play that kind of style in the NHL, but he had a productive career. They're trying to get him that cup, and they make it clear in every interview they do. So, for me, I think if they can survive this wild series with Hershey without being too banged up, which is starting to become a problem, you know, Simone's out. Nick Anderson's day-to-day, Harrison Ruop's day-to-day on the back end. I heard someone mention on Facebook, or on Twitter, I'm sorry, maybe with Mata back, maybe they send Pouliot down to play with all the injuries on the back end. I don't see that being too likely, but it could happen, and if it does, that would be a heck of a boost to a struggling power play. Now, they did get their power play going a bit last night. They were 2-for-6, and Will O'Neill finally broke out of a little bit of a slump he was in. But really, the story for anybody who's not following Wilkes-Barre has been the rookies, Daniel Sprong and Jake Guentzel. Guentzel is tied for the league lead in points with 10, 4 goals, 6 assists. And Sprong's playing about 11 minutes a game. He's getting very few 5-on-5 shifts. And he's tied for the league lead in goals. He's got 5 goals. So, I mean, that kid just knows how to put the puck in the net. So, I mean, the pipeline is really, truly loaded. Teddy Bluger is a rookie. He's killing every penalty. He's playing on the fourth line. He's winning faceoffs. Really, for Wilkes-Barre, the key, and I've said this on Twitter a few times, their key to success, they have one goal from the bottom six in the entire postseason so far, and that's Dominic Simone, who's not even playing right now. Now, he may return tomorrow night, but you know, when your leading goal scorer is playing on your third line, that's a pretty deep lineup. But you take him off, they don't have a guy who scored a goal in that bottom six in the entire postseason. And it's been clear without him, Hershey has had much better success matching up. But if they can get Simone back and he's himself, because that was a vicious hit. You know, even if he does come back, he might not quite be right. But if he is, I think they do advance past Hershey, and I think, you know, their chances are just as good in the next round, but they're going to have to keep playing the same style of hockey. Really physical. I'm telling you, Tom Sestito, I've been a little unfair to him, I think, at times this year because, you know, there was times where he just wasn't very physical, and when he's not physical, you know, that's his game. So when he's not physical, you don't notice him. But in all fairness, Tom Sestito has been irreplaceable in this postseason for Wilkes-Barre. You know, crazy as that may sound, I know people in Pittsburgh don't believe that. But at the AHL level, he's got 3 assists in 4 games. And on the forecheck, he is just battering people. I mean, you know when a guy like that's coming. And it's clear they've been turning pucks over. They don't want to take that hit. And a lot of credit to Sestito. You know, he's been up and down a bit here from Pittsburgh to Wilkes-Barre. He had a baby. He's probably not sleeping much these days. But, man, he has been fantastic for Wilkes-Barre in the postseason.
Well, he's bringing it on Twitter. So, if not on the ice, he's bringing it on Twitter, and he is irreplaceable on Twitter.com, if nowhere else. But so basically, you're telling me when it comes to Wilkes-Barre Scranton in the Calder Cup, it's the Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber line. So you're telling me there's a chance. And I guess all you want is a chance, and the Pittsburgh Penguins up with the big boys in the NHL for Lord Stanley's Cup. There's still a chance for them as well, and there is more than just a chance. The Pittsburgh Penguins eliminate the Washington Capitals with six games in a riveting, heart attack filled. It's amazing Jeff and I didn't keel over here before the post-game show. Game six overtime win, 4-3, beating the Caps and eliminating the Washington Capitals again. And now we'll face Tampa Bay Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals, a Lightning team that is looking like going to be without Steven Stamkos. Jeff, I'm glad you didn't have a heart attack. Hopefully you can get some sleep despite all the caffeine, but thanks for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll do this again. We got a whole other conference final, maybe a cup final, and then we'll even do some Wilkes-Barre broadcast. So go to bed.
Excellent, Mike. Thanks for having me again. I'll try and find a way to wind down here so I can get up in the morning and not get in trouble at work tomorrow. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be some difficulty. We're at 12:30 now, 12:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I don't know why you're drinking any coffee during that game six overtime. You don't really need coffee. That's keeping you up enough with the excitement of game six, Pens and Caps. So I don't know why you need the coffee, but Jeff decided to drink some coffee while watching game six, and I would predict not much sleep for Jeff Manchin of PensInitiative.com. Normally our Wilkes-Barre Scranton insider, but also has the knowledge to drop some bombs for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Not going to keep you much longer here, as I also need to go to bed, and I didn't have any coffee during this game six. So the Penguins win it. They eliminate the Caps 4-3 in game six in overtime, getting it done in overtime despite allowing the Caps to tie it up in regulation. Crosby doesn't really show up in the game, but Phil Kessel does. Phil Kessel, two goals. Phil Kessel, a helper later. Phil Kessel, a guy who wants to get that elusive cup final appearance, if not Stanley Cup ring, and he's showing you that hunger. And showing you exactly why the Penguins got him in the offseason. If not Crosby and Malkin, you got Kessel. That's a security blanket in your big three. They didn't have it the past few years. They also now have the depth, and they have a red-hot goaltender who's 22 years old and is not going to lose his spot to Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't care what the resume shows. If Fleury is starting, it's doomsday. Matt Murray is your guy and was the right guy to start game six. That whole debate was, of course, asinine. Penguins eliminate the Caps. Where does Washington go? Where's Alexander Ovechkin go? Better team, 50 goals again for Ovechkin. Hall of Fame, legendary, remarkable career, legend of this game. I'm a fan of him, but still has never played in a conference final. This Capital team has only been to one cup final in their entire history. They didn't even win a game. They got swept in 1998 to the Detroit Red Wings. A lot of history, a lot of great players, a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of individual awards. President Trophy again for this Capital franchise, and still not much playoff success, more playoff disappointment, and once again at the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Will the Caps ever get to a damn conference final with Alexander Ovechkin? I don't know. I'm rooting for the guy, but not this year. Pens win the series, beat the Caps in six games, not seven, but six games, winning game six, 4-3 in overtime. And now we'll face the Tampa Bay Lightning with the schedule to be released in the coming days. In the Eastern Conference Final, the Lightning defending the Eastern Conference crown as they were in the Stanley Cup Final last year representing the East despite losing to the Chicago Blackhawks. So they are also a hungry team without their star in Stamkos. Can't overlook anybody. They can certainly get the job done. But the Penguins are going to be heavily favored, and you got to figure the roadmap is there now. You got a Lightning team that doesn't have their best player and a lot of teams out west that have never done it before. The path is there for you. The Penguins don't win the Cup. The criticism is going to be valid, going to be plentiful, and it's going to be all pointed at Sidney Crosby unless he steps up. I'm calling for you, Sid. We need more from Sidney Crosby. He needs to step up in a conference final and beyond, even though this Penguin team seemingly has showed they can win without him. Go to the website, PensInitiative.com. Also go to PittsburghSportsInitiative.com for all the articles, the content, the previews, the recaps, the memes, the fun, and all the asinine entertainment that we bring you on a daily basis. Follow us on Twitter at PensInitiative and at PGH_initiative. Look up Wilkes-Barre Scranton and watch their playoff series in the AHL, and also my co-host for this show, Jeff Fermanchin, with his Wilkes-Barre Scranton coverage for PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. And this has been another Radio Gold edition here of the Stanley Cup Playoffs post-game show, Game 6 style. Pens eliminate the Washington Capitals and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. I was your host, Mike Oste, for all of PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. This has been Radio PI's Game 6 post-game show. Pens eliminate the Caps and move to the Eastern Conference Finals. It was powered by Dr. Sheila of Sheila Chiropractics and DKPittsburghSports.com right here on the Radio PI Podcast Network and the Pens Initiative Airwaves.
When it's on a party, we will party hard.